Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Just 6 months ago that I was going to go to Scotland, I would have laughed in your face and said, there's no way. Because Scotland was the last place I thought I would go. Because I thought I would go to Africa. I've been able to go, I've been able to go to Rwanda, Kenya, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I was able to go help a home there where girls have been, hurt by the stuff that's going there. And so I thought, God, if you're going to call me, maybe go there. But it's hard to live in those places, I have to admit. Those 2 weeks when I was there was some of the hardest of my life. But when God placed Scotland on my heart, I just can't even describe to you how my heart feels. I've never been there. I've only been to Norway. That's the closest to Europe I've been in that area. I can't tell you all the details about Scotland. I will tell you some in a few minutes of what's going on in that country. But I can tell you that they desperately need Jesus. They desperately need Jesus. It's a post-Christian society, meaning they don't think they need Jesus anymore. I think that it's what America, if we do not change, it's what's going to happen to us in 10 to 15 years if we're not careful. I was going through the Amsterdam airport in August, and I was shocked with what is being allowed in those magazine racks and what is being allowed for children to see. They desperately need Jesus. And just like Africa and just like the places where I thought I was going to go, you know, where it's more glamorous to go, I thought, man, if I could just go to some country like that, people are going to just be really behind me. But the more I get to know about Europe and the more I get to know about the lack of Christianity, the more I know I'm going to work harder in Europe because they do not think they need Jesus. There's a phrase that I've heard my whole life. It says, when God says go, you go. I've heard that quote my entire life. And some days, let's be honest, I wanted to do it, and sometimes I don't, right? Anybody else been there? God has this funny way of knowing what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. But I'm always amazed with how we as Christians, we think we know better. My life has been full of moments where I would let God do his thing, and then I would take the lead and mess things up. God is faithful, though, and in the end, if you have a heart that is for God, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Another lesson that I've learned in the last 13 years of being here is that it's about being with God and not just doing for God. He is more concerned with the condition of your spirit than what he is about what you're doing. That's one thing that I have learned. And it is funny how that when you are being with God, your doing becomes more eternal. And that's exactly why we should be doing what we're doing. Because every person that you reach, every person that you touch, it's not just for now, but it's for eternity. And whether you get to see them in heaven or not. My family growing up, and just a little explanation, some of you know me, and it's great to see some familiar faces. My family, they're crazy. I have a Mexican father who is in the Vietnam War, who has PTSD. He loves the Lord, but he is crazy. Okay, he would come to my school. I grew up in Oregon on the West Coast, and it's Seahawk country, okay? But my family were Bronco fans. My dad was born and raised 40 years in Denver. So he would come dressed up in the school, mind you, in high school, when you wish that you would just die if your parents came in, you know. My dad came dressed up all in Bronco gear from head to toe, walking through the hallway screaming Merry Christmas to people. Okay, that's my dad. My mom is this, she's Swedish, she's blonde, she's a lot of other stuff, but her main thing is sweet. So here you get this Mexican and this Swede, and I have a twin sister, and you get me. But you know what? I grew up in a family that loved the Lord. Despite all its problems, I have to tell you that more often than not, I took my naps when I was younger in the pews of the church. Because my mom was either the secretary for the church, or she was doing some decorating for the church, because she's an artist. And so therefore, she must know how to decorate everything. And so she decorated everything. And guess who her little helpers were? Because it was free. It'd be us. But, or my dad was setting up for something or fixing a toilet that needed to be fixed. We would carry up tables from the church basement, and my dad would say, "Welcome to the ministry." For my family, that means that we were called. Constantly, my father would say, "Welcome to the ministry," when we were plunging the toilet, when we were washing the windows, because that's what I was taught. I am thankful for that legacy. I am thankful that I saw my parents give their lives for the church and for the lost. We would have strangers all the time at our table, because for a while my dad ran a bus station. And why not have strangers come over, have dinner? Because they need Jesus. You know, that was just normal in my family. I can remember us having nothing but my parents giving, not because they felt pressured to do so, but because being in God, it came naturally and they didn't know how to do anything else. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because missions is not just a missionary thing. It's a kingdom thing. And being in Christ requires all of us to be in missions. It's just some of us are called to the ends of the earth. But we are all called to missions. It's a way of life. Being a part of the body of Christ requires each of us to understand that when you see the world, you just don't see the bad things, although there is bad things. You don't see the negative things, although there is negative things. What you see is the lost. And you see the lost that desperately need Jesus. And we have the key to save them. In 2 Peter 3:8, it says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, so he is giving more time for everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpected as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away and with a terrible noise, and everything in them will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment." When we hear the word Christian, we should hear eternity-minded after it. Meaning when we look at people, we just don't see them as someone who may be annoying, although that is. We don't need to look at them by how much money they have or how much lack of money they have, what they can do for me, what they can do for people, what they can't do for me. What we need to see is the eternity-minded. We see them as souls. We see them as people that Jesus loves so very much. He loves them just as much as you, that he gave his only son to die for them. Think about if we go through that filter our entire life that way, that every single person is an eternal being. Like I said, I've been in this beautiful state of Wyoming for almost 13 years. This place has basically what I say is I grew up here. I grew up here, and I grew up doing ministry here. I have had opportunities that most people only dream of. The trips that I've been able to take, most of them were God things. I have a friend from Norway. His name is Helge. And he just looked at me one time. He was visiting here, and he goes, "Margo, if you get the plane ticket to the Congo, I'll take care of everything else." And it just so happens that I had the exact amount of money in my account for that ticket. Tell me that's not a God thing. Everything that has happened to me, I can only dream of, is a God thing. But I also know that to whom much is given, much is required. In Luke 12:48, it says, "Much is required from those to whom much is given, and much more is required from those to whom much more is given." And you know what? Since Jesus gave me hope, peace, love, his discipline, his life, the least I can give him is my life. I have loved missions since I was little. missionaries would come to my church, and I would be like, oh, I want to go where they go. Even as an adult, like 6 months ago, we had a missionary. I'm like, oh, I just want to go where they go. I've always had missions in my heart, and I thought my whole life what I would do is lead short-term missions trips, which I did. Bobby and Andrew actually got together on one of those trips, yes. And I thought for sure that my whole life I would lead short mission trips to expose people to a culture that is not their own. Because you know what? That broadens your mindset. And I thought, oh, man, and then I'm going to support missions my whole life. And that's great. We need people to support missions. But you know what? Just like when I talked about that phrase when I first started, when God says, go, go. He said, Margo, go. And I said, yes. The verse that has been stuck in my head for the last year, and I totally see God using it throughout my whole this last year to get me prepared to say goodbye. Because you know what? It's not easy to say goodbye to Wyoming. It's not. Some of you may think it's easy, but it's not easy for me to say goodbye to Wyoming. And I tell people this, is I'm not leaving. I'm just an extension of what Wyoming is. Because being able to be the district youth director for Wyoming, the youth who I see a lot in here, I love them. I believe in them. They're my kids. One time someone asked me how many kids I have, and I didn't know that they were asking about my real kids. And I'm not married, and I don't have any kids. And I said, oh, about 400. And they just went, what? I view the youth of Wyoming as my kids. I love them so much. And so when God said go, it wasn't because I was disgusted or I was upset or anything like that. It was just my heart just said yes. And this verse that has been going on in my head for about a year, and I totally see how God is using this. Sometimes you don't want to see what God is doing, right? And so when I read this verse, it has been going on in my head. It's Ephesians 4:1. It says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Let me read that one more time. Therefore I, this is Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. I read that verse from a time in my office, and it literally brought me to my knees. I was crying because I was like, why is this verse impacting me so bad? You know, and I think I had a meeting in a few minutes, and I was like, oh, I got to clean up. But this verse just really stuck to my heart. And this morning, I want to go through this verse, but first we have to get to the therefore. If I say to you, you know what, you need to go clean the bathrooms. Most of you probably want to know why, huh? Well, when it says this verse, it says, therefore, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. How many of you guys want to know why? The word therefore is a very weighted word. We all know the words like that. One words that mean a lot. No. Yes. But. However. If. Maybe. Confirmed. Denied. All those one words mean a lot, don't they? And that word right there, therefore, means a lot. The therefore is a key. The first thing is, in the first part of this book, and that's in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds readers of the power of God in us. Okay, look at the person to your left, person to your right. Yeah, God is in them, and God is in you. And sometimes we have to be reminded of that, don't we? Because when we understand the fact that there is a God in us, our decisions change. Because you are not only making decisions for you, but for the God that is in you. I want to read verses in chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first part and the last part of it. It says, God saved you by a special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Paul was reminding the church of where they came from. Previous in this chapter, I want to encourage you to do that. He was telling them, you were dead before. You did things that were not good for you before. You were involved with things that destroyed you, as were some of us in this room. But you know what? God came and he saved you. And he didn't save you just to do nothing. He saved you to change this world. That's because you have the power of Christ in you. That's one of the reasons why we can say, therefore. It's because there is a God in us. God gave his son so we can have more. He loves us so much that he gave us life. He gave us freedom. So we can do things he has planned for us long ago. I think of an artist that has a plan and a purpose for the painting before anybody else sees it. My mom, she's an artist through and through. Every single room in our house has a different theme. Okay, and I remember one time she had us in the kitchen. Where my parents live is an old carriage house. So that means the ceilings are extremely high, and Margo doesn't do ladders. But guess who had to go up on the ladder and paint? Me. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and I could not comprehend what my mom wanted me to do. She goes, you need to get this. She wanted to do this stencil type thing with a sponge clear up on top of this carriage, old carriage house, okay? And so I'm like, ugh, why me? And my sister, if you know my sister Alicia, somehow she talked me into it. I don't know how. But she's like, I'm not going to go up there. But I could not grasp what my mom was saying. She goes, no, 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 2 inches to the left. No, 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 2 inches to the right. I'm like, Mom. Finally, we got the pattern okay. But you know what? She saw that way before I did. And I'm the one doing it. Well, the same thing goes with God. God, you are his masterpiece. And he sees what he wants you to become before even you see it. You're walking through it, but he's like, oh, no, 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 2 inches to the left, let's go. But he sees that masterpiece, and that's exactly what the therefore, why it's so powerful. That's one of the reasons, is because you are his masterpiece, and he sees what you can become. Therefore, we have to live a life worthy of his calling. That is part of the therefore. The next thing is the good news about Jesus is that he is available for everyone. This is important because Paul, if you read in his life, he was desperately trying to get to Jews to see outside of their box. Because the Jews thought that Jesus was just for them. And Paul was saying I think it was chapter 3 of this book, he's like, nope, guess what? Jesus is for the Gentiles as well. Which if you just think about history of that, it's not like now where we can go to church, we can praise Jesus, we can do all that. Back then, the Gentiles, which is most of us, could not go. And Paul is fighting for the right to share the gospel to those who desperately need him. And the same thing goes with us. Everybody needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to read verses 21 and 22. I think it's up there, yep. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. To me, this also tells me that the same power that Paul had, I can have. The same leadership skills that Paul had, I can have. The same power that Jesus has, I can have. And I can walk in it. That's powerful if you think about it. Think about the Jesus whom we say we love and we serve, healed the blind man. He saved me from a lot of stuff in my life. And that same Jesus is available to everybody. And that's part of the therefore, live a life worthy of your calling. Because he is available for everyone. In Scotland, only 2% of the people attend any type of church on a Sunday. That includes mosques. That includes any other religious organization. 2% of the entire country go to church. Think about that stat right there for a moment. And only 3,500 people in a country of 5.295 million people are Pentecostal believers. Think how dark that is. But they deserve Jesus. I always say that being in Wyoming has been a training ground for me to go to a place where people don't want to hear it. But just think about that stat. 2%. I was sitting there thinking the other day. I was like, we thought, from the last time I heard in Wyoming, I think in Casper, 10% go. 2% go in the entire country. And they consider themselves post-Christian, meaning they are declining in belief in Christ. They don't believe in it. And if you go over to Europe, anybody been to Europe? Yeah, you see it. Like I said, just going through Amsterdam, I was just, whoa. I was blown away by it. But this is part of the therefore, because what Jesus did is for everyone. It's to save a life. But Paul goes on to do one more thing before the therefore. He prays for empowerment. Paul, even though he's speaking to a church, maybe they think they, you know, just like me, maybe, you know, I think I have it all together. But he prays for empowerment because he knows that you guys can't do what you're called to do. I can't do what I'm called to do without the empowerment of the Spirit of God. I cannot go into a country where 2% of the people go to church, and it could possibly not be a Christian church. I cannot go into a place like that without the empowerment of Jesus Christ. You cannot go into your work without the empowerment of Jesus Christ. You cannot speak to your friends, to your family that do not know Jesus without the empowerment of Jesus Christ. Because shock of all shock, you can't save them. Jesus can. I'm going to read this and this portion of scripture. It's a prayer. And I want you, whenever you hear the word you, or whenever Paul is talking about someone, I want you to put your name in it. Okay? And I want you to pay attention to, I know it's small up there, sorry. but I want you to put your name in the yous and make it personal. It says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more, I can't say that word, than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory to the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. We need that empowerment. We have to have it. And in this prayer, there's some powerful life-changing things in this. The wisdom and scope of God's plan, it is bigger than we can ever imagine. In fact, in scripture, it says, my thoughts are not even your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And my everything is bigger to me than what you can comprehend. Think about that for a moment. He has unlimited resources. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, and we know Jesus better. His divine power gives us everything we need to live for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. He has given you everything to live a life of godliness. And not only that, you don't have to worry about what he says, what you'll eat or drink in Luke. He says, I'll take care of it. I remember one time in college, I went to Northwest College in Kirkland, Washington. It's one of our Assemblies of God colleges. And how many of you guys know it's not cheap? Okay. Yeah. It was my senior year. Okay, I'd gone through 3 years of school. It was my senior year. Not only that, it was my last semester of school. We just got back from spring break. I was an RA on a floor, which means I was in charge of girls. I really learned what to do and not to do. I have some doozies, if you want to ask me later. But I was the last semester of school, and my sister and I, we came to school not knowing how we were going to pay for school, okay? And it was an 8-hour drive from my home where I grew up to Seattle, where the school was. And we walked into the student aid, financial aid office, and we're like, we don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to do this? And you know what? I went to first day of classes without even having financial aid or anything going on. But I knew without a doubt that I was supposed to be there. No, I don't advocate if you don't feel God calling you to do that, don't do that. Okay, don't do that. But we really felt we had just one semester left that we were supposed to finish. And I remember laying on my dorm room floor, crying out to God. And he had provided miracle after miracle after miracle for 3 years for us to be there. My parents made $17,000 every year that we were there. That's how poor they were. That was more, that was less than my tuition just for one of us to go. Okay? You know God sent us there. I was crying before, I was on my face before the Lord. And I was like, God, you said that you would provide, standing on this prayer. So God, you will provide because you've called me for such a time as this. Within 24 hours, we were taken care of. But you know what? When you know that you're called of God and you know that he has called you, he has unlimited resources. But a lot of times we get the horse before the cart and we want to make things happen, don't we? We want to say, I'm going to do this. And yes, we have jobs to do. And yes, we have certain responsibilities to do. But at some point, we have to rely on God. And we have to understand that Jesus is the creator of the universe. He can take care of you. And that's what Paul, part of the prayer, is God has unlimited resources. Lean on that. The next thing is we can trust him when we get to know him, and we will become more at home. He will come more at home in our hearts. You cannot trust somebody you do not know. You cannot trust the God that you do not spend time with. The more you get to know him, the more he is at home in your hearts, the more he is able to move. Because when he speaks, you listen and you do what he asks you to do. God's love is massive. We all know that, don't we? It's bigger, it's wider, it's deeper than we can ever imagine. I would not be standing here today if I did not understand the love of God. We will never understand the full extent of God's love. It is beyond us. And we can be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. We can accomplish more than we can ever imagine. And the last thing is God deserves all the glory forever and ever. My favorite part of that is that he may be given glory to the in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. What I love about that is he's not stop. We are still celebrating what he did 2,000 years ago. I always encourage people to write down things God has done in their life so that when they feel like God is doing nothing, they can look at that list and go, oh, wait a second. God gives all the glory forever and ever. And all through this, we get to the therefore. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to leave a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. We are all called by God. He did not die just for certain people. He died for all people. And we need to live a life worthy of our calling because we are called children of God. And how can we live a worthy calling? That word worthy in the Greek actually means balanced. And later on in the chapter, if you want to read, it goes on, explains how to do that. But I'm going to leave that to you because I believe you guys can do that. It tells you how to do that. And also, we should act what we believe. We are all called to live a powerful life. We need to live it because the world is crying out to hear what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he can do in our lives. I'll be going to Edinburgh, Scotland, which is the capital. It's about 500,000 people. I was talking with the missionaries there, and they were apologetic for that. And I said, I live in a state where that's the amount of people in the whole state. And they couldn't quite grasp that. They're from New Jersey originally, and so they're just like, I just don't understand that. They actually said they couldn't grasp it. But 100,000 university students, and one in four of those people suffer from depression. Just because they think they can do everything without consequences, because they don't have Jesus, they're suffering the consequences of depression because they have no Jesus. They need Jesus, and I said yes. Like I said, 6 months ago, if you would have told me I was going, I would have laughed in your face. But right now, it's the only place that I want to go because Jesus has called me. And that therefore, it's a choice. It's a choice. And when I felt the call of God to go, I said, I will live the therefore. I said, I will live for Jesus. I want people to see Jesus through me. The missionaries asked me, can you love people? I think I can handle that. I want people to see Jesus, not me. And my question is, what about you? Are you living a life worthy of your calling? Because you have been called by God. Is your world being affected by you? You may not be called to Scotland or another country, but you are definitely called to Casper, Wyoming. I have a video. I'll be working with a missionary family called the Goldschmidts. And the reason why I decided to go as missionary associate instead of a full career missionary is because I feel called to the nations. Yes, I want to go to Scotland for 2 years, but I just feel God is calling me to something bigger. And I feel called to the nations. And I just need to get my feet wet. I need to go. It's time for me to go. And I just need to go live overseas. I just need to go. And so I'll be going as missionary associate to learn. And I'm excited about that. And I want to show a video of Scotland.
I am from Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Well, that is my heart. That is why I want to live a life worthy of my calling. And I want to pray over you before I leave. And I just want to say thank you for letting me come share my heart. This was my first missionary service. Yes, yes. And to see faces like the Shaybergs, who I love them so very much, and to see support, I just want to say thank you. But what I want to do is I want to pray. Could you guys please stand? I want to pray over you. And what I want to pray over you is I thought about, you know, having people come to the altar, and, you know, that's great. And if you need prayer afterwards, that I'm so here for that. People who know me know that I love to pray with people. But this morning, what I really wanted you to do is I wanted you to choose. And that choice is very personal. So I want everyone to close their eyes. I'm just going to pray over you. And I want you to choose to live a life worthy of your calling. And you alone know whether you are living that life worthy of your calling or not. I know in my life in the last year and a half, God has dealt with me with stuff that I did not want to deal with. I didn't. But if I hadn't dealt with that, I wouldn't be going to Scotland right now. Who knows where I'd be right now? But you know what? It's a choice whether you deal with that or not. It's a choice whether you choose a life worthy of your calling or not. Nobody else can make that choice for you. So I'm just going to pray over you, and I just want to encourage you as I pray over you that you make that choice. And if you have made that choice, then come talk to me, Pastor Todd, or any of your leadership here in this church, and let them know, you know what? I have made a choice, and if you need to work through some things, then let's work through it. Because God has placed you and called you for something no one else can do. And if you do not step out and do what God has asked you to do, who's going to? So, Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for loving us the way that you do. You are the name above every name. You're the only God in this universe. Lord, and we praise your name. You're high and lifted up. You're the reason why we are breathing this morning. And Lord, I just pray over these people right now in this room. Lord, if they're going to make a choice to live a life worthy of their calling, I pray that right now that they would say, I am going to live a life for Jesus. Not just when I feel like it, not just when it's convenient, but every single day of my life. And if some of them are called to missions, that they would step out and do what God has called them to do. Whether it be talking to their neighbor that they don't like, talking to some family members that do not know you. I pray, Lord, that we would get a hunger and a desire to see lost people saved. And I just thank you for that, Lord. We give you our whole lives. We give you our words, our thoughts, our emotions. We give you every aspect of our life, and we say you are Lord of all. And I just thank you for that, Jesus. I pray a blessing over each person in this room, that you be glorified in all that we do. And we thank you for that, Jesus.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.